Today is the 19th day of April. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It's fantastic to have a chance to get a cup of coffee, which I have here, and sit around the global campfire together. It's hectic, right? It's hectic out there. It's nice to have just this place, because we're constantly having to think about what's going on and make decisions, and stuff is flying at us like crazy. It's nice to have this place where it's like we don't have to, like, what's going to be flying at us is the Bible, and we came here because we want that. So we can kind of let our minds relax, exhale some of these cares. This is going to be safe. We're just going to take the next step forward together in the scriptures. And so we have worked our way so long since the beginning of the year toward a promised land that we are in now, and we're in the book of Joshua, and today we'll read Joshua chapters 19 and 20. The second lot came out for the tribe of Simeon according to its clans. Their inheritance lay within the territory of Judah. It included Beersheba, or Sheba, Molada, Hatzar Shual, Bala, Itzem, Eltolad, Bethul, Horma, Ziklag, Bet Markabot, Hatzar Susa, Bet Lebeot, and Sharuen. 13 towns and their villages. Ain, Rimmon, Ether, and Ashan. 4 towns and their villages, and all the villages around these towns as far as Baalat Beer, Ramah in the Negev. This was the inheritance of the tribe of the Simeonites according to its clans. The inheritance of the Simeonites was taken from the share of Judah because Judah's portion was more than they needed. So the Simeonites received their inheritance within the territory of Judah. The third lot came up for Zebulun according to its clans. The boundary of their inheritance went as far as Sarid. Going west, it ran to Marala, touched Debeshet, and extended to the ravine near Yokneam. It turned east from Sarid toward the sunrise to the territory of Kislot Tabor, and went on to Deberat and up to Japhia. Then it continued eastward to Gath Hefer and Eth Katsin. It came out at Rimmon and turned toward Nea. There the boundary went around on the north to Hanathon and ended at the valley of Iphtah-El. Included were Kattath, Nahalal, Shimron, Idalah, and Bethlehem. There were 12 towns and their villages. These towns and their villages were the inheritance of Zebulun, according to its clans. The fourth lot came out for Issachar according to its clans. Their territory included Jezreel, Kesulot, Shunem, Hepharaim, Shion, Anaharat, Rabith, Kishion, Ibez, Remeth, Enganim, Enhadah, and Bet-Pizaz. The boundary touched Tabor, Shahazuma, and Bet-Shemesh, and ended at the Jordan. There were 16 towns and their villages. These towns and their villages were the inheritance of the tribes of Issachar according to its clans. The fifth lot came out for the tribe of Asher according to its clans. Their territory included Helkath, Ali, Biten, Aksaph, Amalek, Amad, and Mishal. On the west, the boundary touched Carmel and Shihar Libnat. It then turned east toward Bet Dagon, touched Zebulun in the valley of Iphtah-El, and went north to Bet-Emek and Nael, passing Kabul on the left. It went to Abdon, Rehob, Hamon, and Cana, as far as Greater Sidon. The boundary then turned back toward Ramah and went to the fortified city of Tyre, turned toward Hosa, and came out at the Mediterranean Sea in the region of Aksib, Uma, Aphek, and Rehob. There were 22 towns and their villages. These towns and their villages were the inheritance of the tribe of Asher according to its clans. The sixth lot came out for Naphtali, according to its clans. Their boundary went from Eleph and the large tree in Zaanam, passing Adami, Nekeb, and Jabneel to Lakum, and ending at the Jordan. The boundary ran west through Esnot Tabor and came out at Hukok. It touched Zebulun on the south, Asher on the west, and the Jordan on the east. The fortified towns were Zedim, Zer, Amath, Rekath, Kinneret, Adama, Rama, Hatzor, Kadesh, Edrei, En-Hatzor, Iron, Migdal-El, Horem, Bet-Anath, and Bet-Shemesh. There were 19 towns and their villages. These towns and their villages were the inheritance of the tribe of Naphtali according to its clans. The seventh lot came out for the tribe of Dan according to its clans. The territory of their inheritance included Zorah, Eshtaol, Irshemesh, Shealdim, Aijalon, Ithla, Elon, Timnah, Ekron, Eltika, Gibbethon, Baalat, Jehud, Bnei Barak, Gat Rimon, Mid Jarkon, and Rakon, with the area facing Joppa. When the territory of the Danites was lost to them, they went up and attacked Leshem, took it, put it to the sword, and occupied it. They settled in Leshem and named it Dan, after their ancestor. These towns and their villages were the inheritance of the tribe of Dan, according to its clans. When they had finished dividing the land into its allotted portions, the Israelites gave Joshua, son of Nun, an inheritance among them, as the Lord had commanded. They gave him the town he asked for, Timnath-Serah, in the hill country of Ephraim, and he built up the town and settled there. These are the territories that Eleazar the priest, Joshua, son of Nun, and the heads of the tribal clans of Israel assigned by lot at Shiloh in the presence of the Lord at the entrance to the tent of meeting. And so they finished dividing the land. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Tell the Israelites to designate the cities of refuge, as I instructed you through Moses, so that anyone who kills a person accidentally and unintentionally may flee there and find protection from the avenger of blood. When they flee to one of these cities, they are to stand in the entrance of the city gate and state their case before the elders of that city. Then the elders are to admit the fugitive into their city and provide a place to live among them. If the avenger of blood comes in pursuit, the elders must not surrender the fugitive, because the fugitive killed their neighbor unintentionally and without malice aforethought. They are to stay in that city until they have stood trial before the assembly and until the death of the high priest who is serving at that time. Then they may go back to their own home in the town from which they fled." So they set apart Kadesh in Galilee, in the hill country of Naphtali, Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim, and Kiriat Arba, that is Hebron, in the hill country of Judah. East of the Jordan, on the other side from Jericho, they designated Bezer in the wilderness on the plateau in the tribe of Reuben, Ramoth and Gilead in the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan in the tribe of Manasseh. Any of the Israelites or any foreigner residing among them who killed someone accidentally could flee to these designated cities and not be killed by the avenger of blood prior to standing trial before the assembly. Luke 19, 28 through 48. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the ground. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." When Jesus entered the temple courts, he began to drive out those who were selling. "It is written," he said to them, "my house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers." Every day he was teaching at the temple, but the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the leaders among the people were trying to kill him. Yet they could not find any way to do it because all the people hung on his words. Psalm 88, a psalm of the sons of Korah for the director of music, according to Mahalat Leonot, a Maskil of Heman the Ezrahite. Lord, you are the God who saves me. Day and night I cry out to you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry. I am overwhelmed with troubles and my life draws near to death. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like one without strength. I am set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily on me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. You have taken from me my closest friends and have made me repulsive to them. I am confined and cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief. I call to you, Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you. Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do their spirits rise up and praise you? Is your love declared in the grave? Your faithfulness in destruction? Are your wonders known in the place of darkness? Are your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? But I cry to you for help, Lord. In the morning my prayer comes before you. Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth I have suffered and been close to death. I have borne your terrors and am in despair. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. All day long they surround me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me. You have taken me from friend and neighbor. Darkness is my closest friend. Proverbs 13, 12 through 14. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Whoever scorns instruction will pay for it, but whoever respects a command is rewarded. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death. Okay, there are a lot of scenes in the Bible that we encounter that are really sad, or really disturbing. There's a really sad scene in today. It's like a personal scene with Jesus as he's making his way into Jerusalem, and he's coming up the backside of the Mount of Olives, and when he reached the top there, you can see all of Jerusalem spread out before you. Like, it's still that way today. Like, if you've ever seen, like, a picture of the old city of Jerusalem as it stands today with the Dome of the Rock and everything, like, that iconic picture is from the top of the Mount of Olives. And so when people would be on pilgrimage and kind of crest that, they would be looking down on the temple of the Most High God. And so Jesus has been, like, we've spent the last couple of days seeing Jesus down in Jericho, 18 miles down in the desert, and some scenes there, and then now he's climbed 18 miles up to Jerusalem, and he's reaching this point where he's cresting the Mount of Olives, and all of Jerusalem spreads out before him, but the entire temple complex, the temple of God, all of this is right in front of him. And there's this grand celebration that is surrounding him. This is known as the triumphal entry of Jesus. This is what we celebrate on Palm Sunday each year. So Jesus is in this crowd of people who are saying Hosanna, and he's seeing all this, but he gets to the top of the Mount of Olives, and the scene kind of gets real personal. It's almost like the crowd sort of dims down a little bit, and he starts to cry. Jesus starts to cry as he's looking down on Jerusalem. And it's so sad because of like why he's crying. And it should like hit us so hard when we identify with it, because he's crying about what could have been. This is how I wish you of all the people, how I wish that you would have understood the way to peace. It's too late now. You didn't open your eyes. Man, if you've lived long enough to have the regret of what could have been, that's like a pretty bitter pill. And Jesus talks like as he's looking at all the stuff, it's all going to be destroyed. Like he said that, and he's correct. Decades later, all of that, everything that Jesus is seeing in this scene, Jerusalem itself will be completely destroyed, completely made a pile of rubble by the Roman Empire. So why is Jesus crying? Like, this probably, like, he's got to go into the city and be executed. But that's not what's, like, coming out of his mouth. It's what could have been. Jesus came showing the ways of the kingdom. The kingdom that the people had been crying out to God for. God came to answer their prayer. And he completely told them what he was doing. He completely continued to reveal, like, how to heal humanity is to heal a person's heart. But they just couldn't. They just, in their blindness, could not visualize any other kind of Messiah than a military leader. Somebody that's going to go put it to the enemy. That's going to actually defeat this global superpower. The Roman Empire. There are people shouting Hosanna. There are people all around Jesus. In just a couple of days, these people are going to reject him and turn on him, and he's going to get killed. And in just a few decades, the people of God, would rise up in revolt to try to do what the Messiah wouldn't. They tried to overthrow the Romans, and it was catastrophic. And Jerusalem was destroyed, and the temple was destroyed. It's kind of a mirror, though. We walk a path that's similar. We can cry out to God to make a certain set of arrangements for us or change a certain set of circumstances that we're after. He might show us that there's even a better way. But we're so committed to these personal assumptions and expectations that our eyes aren't open. We can't see. And then when we're looking at this story of the passion of Jesus, we see the blindness. God's people can't see that they're killing God. That's how blind it gets. And so we get blinded to how God might want to move in our lives because it doesn't make sense to us, or it's different than we think, or we just cannot see it any other way. He might come to rescue us and we're not even paying attention. Eventually, then, right, we follow the same path. We decide to enforce our own will on the situation. And sometimes that leads to our complete destruction. This kind of behavior, though, this kind of behavior makes God cry. And so that should be sobering enough to think about. We're going to have to trust God. I mean, if Jesus crested the mount in our lives and looked down upon our true selves, would it be what could have been? It would be like, even you, I wanted to show you the way to Pete. You just weren't willing. Man, may that never be true of any of us. Holy Spirit, come, because the problem is it is true of all of us. And so the difference between who we are as we control our lives and who we are as living sacrifices available to you, it's a vast difference. And so we see it, and we invite your Holy Spirit into this to transform us. We submit to you. Our eyes get open for a minute and we see things. We close our eyes real quick because of the circumstances of life, but our eyes get opened and we see things, and we're asking, Holy Spirit, that you help us to keep our eyes open so that we can be transformed. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. It's home base, it's the website. It's where you find out what's going on around here. So certainly check it out. Check out the Daily Audio Bible Shop. There are a number of resources there. Our new quarterly snapback hats for the summertime are here. Our Wind Farm coffee and tea, which I'm drinking right now, like at this moment, but it's right here to my left, which it accompanies me every day. That's available in the Daily Audio Bible Shop. We'll roast it fresh and send it to you. Resources for journaling through the scriptures. Resources to take deeper dives into things. Resources to experience some of the land that we're visiting as we read through the Bible. All kinds of stuff. Check out the Daily Audio Bible Shop. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if being around the global campfire does bring life and hope and good news, then thank you deeply for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, my DAB family. This is Jamie in New Jersey, standing on the Word of God. I humbly ask you to please pray with me. Dear Father in Heaven, we give you our worries and fears. We give everyone and everything to you now. We are coming to you in humility of heart to admit that we can do nothing in our own strength and to confess our need of you in our lives. We give you our day, Father. Thank you that you are able to do far more than we could ever imagine. We release to you every need and problem we've carried or tried hard to control. We believe in your goodness to see us through. Thank you for your strength on behalf of your children. Show us how to abide in you day by day and instruct us how to live in spirit and truth. Help us, Father, to give control of our lives over to you in every way and to become the person you would have us be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for praying along with me, my brothers and sisters. I love each and every one of you, and I thank you for praying along with me. Have a good night.
Shalom, shalom, Daily Audio Bible. This is Dwayne from Wisconsin. All praise and glory to our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Calling in today, it is the 17th of April. A few days behind because the wife and I had taken a vacation, but we're back safe and had a great time. But we're calling in for the young man, Miles. His grandmother called in, and he is missing. I pray that there's already been a praise report that he has been located, that he has safely been returned home. If not, Lord, we ask that you would be with this young man. Keep him safe, Lord. We ask that your Holy Spirit enter him and help him to make right and just decisions, Lord, and to at least reach out to his family and let him know where he is. We're on our knees, Lord. We lift that up to you. We know how devastating that can be when we don't know. We have the fear of the unknown. So please comfort the family and return him safely, if thy will be. We lift this up in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless. And remember, the same Lord and Savior that saved us is the same Lord and Savior that can save our children.
Good morning, DAB family. This is Paula calling from Albuquerque. Today is April 16th, Tuesday. I hope that you guys are all doing well. I just wanted to give out a shout out to those that have been praying for me with my relationship issues, with my daughter being estranged. I know that there are several of us. I know I'm not the only one that has prodigals in my life. So we just keep praying. And yes, it hurts. I will not fake that. It is a hard thing. But I also pray for the rest of you in this dear family that are experiencing that. I also want to lift up Junk to Treasure. I heard your prayer. You're such a faithful follower of the Lord, and you do what you need to do for now to take care of your daughter. Micah and I just also want to let you know that I am in the same boat that you are. I lost a lot of weight a few years ago, and it has slowly crept back on. And since I ended the relationship with that man back in the summer, it seems like it's gotten worse because I am focusing on food rather than on healing that the Holy Spirit would provide. Anyway, I'm sure I'm not the only one, and I'm sure, Micah, you're not the only one either in that boat. Anyway, I love you guys, and we continue to go before the Lord for each other, and that's why I love you all so much.
Hi, Daily Audio Bible. This is Jessica in California, and I just heard the prayer request from Junk to Treasure about her daughter and everything that's happening to her from her work-related injury. And I just pray, Lord, that you just come down and wrap your arms around Junk to Treasure. And Lord, I just pray that you come down and you wrap your arms around her daughter and you relieve some of this pressure on her spine. Lord, you give her peace. Lord, you be in the surgeon's hands. You completely restore her to better than before. I just ask, Lord, that not only for the physical part of it, but financial part of the time that she's lost at work, Lord, that you find a way to compensate and give more than she had before. I just thank you, Lord, that you love Junk to Treasure. She's one of your faithful servants, and that you've made promises over her and her family. I just come before you now and ask, Lord, for relief in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Love you, Junk to Treasure. I'll be praying for you. Bye.